It's That Podcast, recording live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast, featuring Joe Lindholm and Jason Shirley. I digress. Hello, Brent.
You fret. You got a 10-pound shunk and a 5-pound bet.
It's a good man. Good man in the community. Sup, ha! Tell him your name sent you.
A3.
Live from Studio B, it's That Podcast, featuring Joe. I digress. And Jason.
Hello, Brent. Give me some of that dogger. This up, please. I'll make it enough. Sup, ha!
Tell him your name sent you. Sent you.
Live from Studio B in Strawberry Blonde Studios. It's That Podcast.
Welcome to It's That Podcast, episode 15. 15 in the can. I'm your co-host, Joe Lindholm, along with Jason Shirley. Jason, tell them what's up.
You know what? Your peep this, la-di-da-di. We like the party.
Up,
we don't
Jay?
Cause
yeah.
trouble. We don't bother nobody. We're just some men that's on the mic. And when we rock up on the mic, we rock the mic.
Right.
For all of y'all, keeping y'all in health. Just to see you smile and enjoy yourself. Cause it's cool when you cause a cozy condition, Anna, that we create. Cause that's our mission. So listen
so
to
last
what
episode. Number three. Dial DEF on your telephone,
that's it,
baby.
Man. That's right. So last episode, we did a tremendously deep dive into the entire NFL first round of the draft. All over it.
That we did.
Just covered it like a blanket. The proverbial comfy blanket. So we're going to spend a little time today on this episode talking about the Bears specific Bears draft. What we liked, what we didn't like, what works, what doesn't work.
Hey, I don't remember saying that.
Yeah, you know what? And we don't even have a corrections corner this week, Joe.
None, because we were so good last time.
Yeah, as far as we know.
That's right.
I want to introduce a new segment called Off the Field.
Okay.
Where, you know, we're inundated with things every day where sports figures have done something wrong and, you know, act human, which we... You know, although right. it's not the 1950s anymore, we still expect them to be superhuman.
Right.
Anyway, so off the field is going to be something that a current sports figure is doing well. And this week we're looking at our friend Timmy Anderson.
Yeah, man. Go number 7.
Yeah. Do you want to let
folks know what's up? Let's go back a little bit.
Yeah.
Last year, one of his best friends, actually I think it was his best friend, was murdered, shot and killed. He played with a heavy heart all season long, and I think that might have contributed to his, we'll call it lackluster season. Wasn't great, right? And he's much better. Came out of the gates this year. He's like he's done the morning he needs to do.
Man possessed.
But I think he realized that his influence can be bigger than just him, right? Just Tim Anderson the person, because he's Tim Anderson the baseball player for the White Sox. And there's, as we figured out in the production meeting, we believe, and we could be wrong, and I'd have to double check it, obviously, he's the only African-American player on the team. He's the only black player on the team. On the White Sox. It's all Hispanic and white. But, you know, playing where they play on the South Side, predominantly African-American, and he has stepped up to the plate in a very big way here. Him and his wife. They took a bunch of... not needy, but a bunch of high school students to the Negro League Museum in Kansas City when they played there.
And I want to jump in. These cats are part of a group called Becoming a Man.
Yep.
And the kids that got to go are ones that kept a grade point average 3.5 and above and had perfect attendance at school. Right. So these are like the cream of the crop.
Cream of the crop.
Cats.
For sure. And... he paid it forward, and I believe on his dime, brought him to Kansas City, gave him a tour of the Negro League Museum to show all the past players that played before him that set the tone for Jackie Robinson and Larry Doby in the American League and et cetera down the line. And I think it's part of his maturation process, right? Like I think he realized after his friend got murdered that he can contribute in a bigger way than what he's been doing. And kudos to him, 100%, thumbs up, way to go to show that the situation they're stuck in right now isn't how it needs to finish.
Right.
And maybe that way now, you know, downtrodden and poor and everything else, but with hard work and determination, it, you know, it's kind of the American way, right? Like, if you give yourself enough to it and bust your ass, it can pay off.
It's the American way that's sold to us. Correct. Yes, that's, I will tell you that.
Goods were sold. But
anyway. Yeah, I just wanted to point that out. I thought it was amazing. It was an article I caught, and it was like a tail end of something. I mean, not publicized.
No.
Nobody was looking to get glory from this. I saw it
on Twitter after the fact.
Yeah.
Maybe one tweet from the White Sox.
Right.
That was it.
And because they paid for the flights.
Of course.
But, you know, hey, you know, kudos to them for doing that.
Doing the right thing. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So we'll go from that bit of happiness to what some folks have called the one or two best drafts of 2018, which would be the Chicago Bears.
Bears. That's right. And we hit on this last episode. Smith kind of fell to him.
Yeah.
At one, which was awesome. Fine.
Yeah.
I'm all good with it.
You know what? Something can fall to you and you can fuck it up.
He could absolutely. He could have taken the kid from UTSA. He could have whatever. He didn't take a project. He took a football player.
Right.
Which is what he did the first three picks of this draft for the Bears. He didn't take a project. He didn't take somebody that could be good. He took people that were good.
Yeah.
And hope that they can contribute to the team.
And before we jump on farther on down the road with that, do you think that's because of where he's at right now? I mean, he needs proven talent.
He had Fox.
Yeah.
Fuck that all.
Well, you know what?
And that may not be all his doing per se.
But if Fox was available and it came out that he had a chance to get him and didn't get him,
right?
Would people wanted to run him out of town?
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, probably so. And he took care of business. This draft, he really did, in my opinion, a really good job. He took what needed to get taken. So with the second pick, they traded. No, they didn't trade up. They were thinking about trading down to get a third round pick. That was the talk going into the second round, was that they're going to trade down to get somebody second and their third, because they did not have a third round pick, right? That was the talk. They decided not to, and they stuck with the second round pick, who we'll get to in a minute. But we're going to run through the Bears kind of what they needed, what they didn't need, that kind of thing, and how the holes were filled or not filled to that extent. So quarterback right now, we got Mitch Trubisky, my friend, as the primary quarterback, and that's really, quite frankly, all they really need, I guess. They also signed Chase Daniel.
I still feel good with Mitch at quarterback, yeah, don't you?
I mean, for sure.
Last year, all he had to give us was hope.
And he did.
And I felt that way.
He gave us enough hope.
Yeah.
Absolutely. For sure. And they didn't, so far, they haven't signed anybody like undrafted free agent or anything like that. So they're going with Trubisky and Daniel, 1-2. Technically, Taylor Bray is their third quarterback, but we'll see how that goes. Who knows? Maybe after Sanchez's, get him back. My guy. Just kidding. That guy sucks. Anyway, so running back. So here's where they didn't need to draft somebody, right? They were pretty much set because we had Jordan Howard, Tariq Cohen, Benny Cunningham. That was enough. Those are your three bullets in the gun.
I'm good for that next year.
Exactly. Yeah. Fullback isn't really a position in the NFL anymore. There are fullbacks out there.
Yeah.
But they're not really, that's not.
They're blocking backs.
Right. Right, exactly. And
or tight ends.
Or they're tight ends. Right, exactly. And they're tight ends. Wide receiver. So this is where one hole got filled, right?
Right.
Not to say the first hole in the draft, but the first one of the holes that got filled. So they have Allen Robinson, who they signed, Taylor Gabriel, who they signed. They have Kevin White, which we'll get to Kevin White here in a minute.
I'm sorry.
Josh Bellamy, and they have guys, right? They have bodies. They went out and drafted. They traded up in the second round. They traded a second round pick next year.
That's correct.
And they're one of the fourth round picks or fifth round picks this year for a pick this year. And they went up and they got Anthony Miller from Memphis.
They had two fours this year.
Right. They traded one of those fours and a two next year.
Correct.
Which could backfire or maybe not backfire. Well, we'll find out. But
if you think this guy's a second-round guy, this is what you do.
Absolutely.
You didn't have a third-round pick this year.
No. And he we talk about this in production meeting, is if you're going to play for a mid-major, I think we mentioned this in the last podcast. If you're going to play for a mid-major, you have to excel. You have to be really good.
You got
to
be the man.
You have to put up outrageous numbers.
Right. Crazy.
To get a pick like this in this level.
Right.
Which is what
otherwise
the Bears
you're
did.
An undrafted free agent.
Correct. And which is what the Bears did. Anthony Miller at Memphis put up crazy numbers. Crazy, like 1,300 yards, 10, 12, 13 tuts, 80 catches. I mean, it was a lot of production. And the best part about him, from what we've heard, is he's a big motor guy.
Yeah.
Never stops.
Right.
Like you were telling me a story about him blocking in practice. Why don't you go and tell
us? Yeah, they have to dial him down. His coach said, hey, look, you can't block that guy into the Gatorade table. It's Wednesday. That's our guy. Let's go. Right. Come on.
And I'm good with somebody like that. Again, he's a football player.
And he's a wide receiver that does that, which is right. something that we haven't seen in right. quite a while.
Right. And he's a football player. He's not a project.
Right.
Which is good.
Or a diva.
So I'm 100% behind the trading up and getting him. He, on the surface, a great pick. Like we were sitting there, again, at work watching the draft the next day, second round. And they made their pick for their first second-round pick, which we'll get to here in a minute because we're approaching the offensive line. And it was like, well, a Bears pick? What? They traded up? What? And then it was pretty awesome.
Well, there were rumors, and associate producer Bill texted me this, that there were rumors that they were trying to get back into the first round. And I don't know if that was going to be to try to get Ridley. Because we talked about that earlier.
Maybe.
And then there was when that didn't happen.
Yeah, there was rumors they were going to try, like you said, they're trying to trade up.
Right.
To get back in the end, ass end of the first round.
Correct.
And it could have been to get their player that they wanted. Right.
Right.
It was possible that they drafted up to get, you know, the offensive lineman they got out of Iowa who is going to play guard. Which is another thing we can argue about.
Yeah, and we will.
James Daniels is the guy's name. He played center Iowa. He was a beast. Like he was second or third offensive lineman on the board in a lot of people's mock drafts or draft boards. He was probably up there very highly.
Correct.
And a lot of people got taken before him.
He was the first center,
Right. He was the number one center. But I don't have a huge problem with them. With them doing this at all. When you have a Cody Whitehair who has excelled, well, not excelled, but he's certainly above average NFL center. He's already established. Let's put it that way.
No, absolutely.
Established NFL center.
He got thrown in the fire as a rookie.
Yeah.
And did well.
And excelled.
And right. did well.
For sure. And then you draft this kid who played at center, but in the NFL, he may translate over to a guard. And you already have Whitehair at center. So, like, the night they drafted him, Pace came out and said, he's a guard.
Right.
Putting him at guard.
Right.
Which I have no problem with at all. Because we don't know if Cody Whitehair is a good guard or not a good guard or whatever.
Well,
we know he's a good center.
He was a tackle when they drafted him.
Yes.
And they moved him to guard they moved him to center because they had to.
But hey, man, it works, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it works.
Hey, but we've seen the Kyle Long experiment between guard and tackle.
Ugh.
Right?
Blurk.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So I can't get too excited about, hey, let's see these guys play first and then we'll figure out what's going
right,
on.
Right, right. But I can get excited about his ability.
Yes.
And if they end up in training camp.
Bar none.
If they end up in training camp and he doesn't work out his guard, then you put him at center and put Whitehair guard. I mean, but on the surface, I understand why he says this kid's guard. Right? Completely right. understand it. 100%. 100%
sure.
understand it. So we go to tight end. So back to the depth chart. Trey Burton, Deion Sims, and Adam Shaheen. No problem with any of that. They're
none.
Hard-nosed, kind of nose of the grindstone type tight ends.
Trey Burton from the Eagle.
Deion Sims is just a beast of a dude. More of a sixth offensive lineman, really. He's big.
Right.
But Shaheen, you know.
Was a project.
Project
still a project.
Started to pan out a little bit. You can see the glimmer of it. You can see why he's kind of a project, but
well, because my guy doesn't have a leg anymore. So
right, and the problem with Shaheen now is that with Burton on board, that cuts into Shaheen's playing time
quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
I mean, as far as the target goes,
red zone guy now. Does he become a red zone inside the 20 guy now, Shaheen? Or
he's big enough for it. What is he, 6'4", 6'5"?
He's a big dude. Yeah, so that may be the case. So that's the offensive end of the board, right?
Well, it is, but you kind of skipped over my guy from Memphis being a red zone guy.
That's what somebody said, right? He's 5'10".
Again.
It's like my height.
The first thing I said when they drafted him was, he's kind of little. And then the same coach that talked about him, you know, blocking people into the Gatorade table said that he's strong enough that whoever's going to press him on the line in the red zone is going to lose.
Yeah.
So I would love to see that in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that that happened all the time at Memphis because of the competition.
Yeah.
And if that translates, then that's perfect. Yeah. But I don't buy it, man. I mean, 6'5", 6'6", you want people to jump for shit.
Right.
It's
the Matt Guagi.
Go up and get it.
Go up and get it, brother. That's right. So to get off the offensive side of the ball for
right,
a minute,
right.
Let's go to the defensive line of the ball. Defensive line, more specifically. We obviously have Akeem Hicks, beast, stud, whole nine yards.
That
Eddie
is.
Eddie Goldman, one of the few pace picks that actually has turned out great.
Yes.
He's very good. You've got...
He needs to get signed to a long-term deal.
Yeah, they got to lock him up. Jonathan Bullard wasn't terrible.
Love the bull.
Flashes.
You know what? I got to tell you this before we go any further.
Mm.
That's who I am on Madden all the time.
Really?
I'm the bull.
How are you now?
I'm the bull on the line. Nice. He's amazing. Go ahead.
Roy Robertson Harris. Last name long enough barely to fit on the jersey.
Right.
And then you have John Jenkins. And they filled in Bilal Nichols. They drafted in the fifth round. There's Sean Coward and Kim. There's other names on the list.
Right.
But
again, Nichols
on
rookie.
The surface, when you only need three defensive linemen, if you're playing a 3-4.
Right.
Pretty solid squad.
You have
two people that excel, two other guys that are next tier, and then you have Jenkins and then all the rookies up behind him. Defensive line looks like not an issue so far, at least. And then we have the defensive linebackers. This crew is going to be sick.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, anyway.
I agree. For years to come, hopefully.
Right. I pray. That'd be great. So, you have your inside linebackers are Danny Trevathan, right? Roquan Smith, Kwiatkowski, Joel, I can never pronounce this guy's last name. They drafted him in the fourth round, I believe.
Iuwa
Buinwe, that guy. John Timu, Jonathan Anderson, Niles Morgan. I think you have Trevathan and Roquan Smith in the back in the middle there with Kwiatkowski coming in on nickel situations and as the number three guy. And we'll see what happens. And Iggy, as they call him here. Could he be a starter? It's possible. When you're playing a four linebacker situation, you just gotta do it, right?
$5 says Joniak doesn't call him anything but Iggy.
Iggy. That's it. That's all you know Thayer's. That's all he's gonna call him Iggy. That's it. So they're set right there. An inside linebacker, pretty solid core. Outside linebacker. So you've got Leonard Floyd, who varies between pass rushing end and outside linebacker. You got Sam Achoo.
Before we move on from that, how many sacks do you want from Floyd this year? You told me double digits maybe six shows ago.
Yeah.
Are you still there?
Yeah.
All right.
That's what we need. We need him to take that next step.
Okay.
If the Bears are going to be a playoff team or even a successful team, 8-9-win team, they're going to need him to step up for sure.
Oh, by the way,
yeah.
Bears in Vegas,
yeah,
six and a half.
Yeah,
I take the over.
Over, I would. It's the problem is it's a really good number, right?
Yeah,
6.5 is a really
sure
good
is.
Number. It's like if things.
No, I know.
To win 8 or 9 games, everything has to kind of fall.
No, and
no injuries, no anything.
I told Mr. Viking I would dance in the street in a skirt and nothing else. If they go 8-8,
it would be, I don't know if I'd go that far.
No, I mean, I'm telling you, I would be that happy.
I'd be ecstatic though. Yeah, for sure. Absolutely.
But here I am telling you over 6.5.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I'm still telling you 7 or 8 wins,
yeah.
But it's a really good number.
Right?
For Vegas, that's a really good number.
It is.
Yeah, it's perfect. So here's a guy who they drafted late, has some injury problems, right? Kylie Fitz out of Utah.
Yeah.
He could be a difference maker. He could be. be a difference maker.
But see, this is when you gamble.
Yeah, this is exactly correct. When you're at this point in the draft, this is where you, I'm not saying you take a project necessarily, but you definitely, if there's an injury question or anything like that, you kind of err on the side of being able to play.
Right.
So no issue there. Fitz, it's all about staying healthy for that kid. He's got the talent. Just for whatever reason, can't stay healthy. All right, so we move on to cornerback. Not quarterback, cornerback.
Yeah, and this has been a question and a need.
Yeah, it's, yeah. So let's go through the list just to make sure that everybody's on the same page. So Prince Amukamara.
Yeah, right? Won't be here long term.
Kyle Fuller.
Will be here long term.
Bryce Callahan, who by, I just thought I'd mention this, throw this in at you, by our metrics, one of the best nickelbacks in football.
Hmm.
Just throwing it out there by stats metrics. Just saying.
Okay. By
whatever it is that we measure with, which I don't know because it's not my gig, but. He's up there.
Okay.
Marcus Cooper from Alabama, who they drafted last year. McManus. I wish we had a video because I just did the stink face.
You did.
LeBlanc. And then there's a host of others. Mincy and Grant and all these other guys, right?
Right.
It makes me itchy only because.
Quarterback all comes down to hips, Joe. Are your hips loose?
Hip turn?
Are your hips tight?
Mm-hmm. Look, Amukamara and Fuller earned the. Earned, that's the wrong way to put it. They played good enough to get a quarterback, a contract. I mean,
no, hell.
And the problem is this again, I've talked about Kyle Fuller earlier. You can't turn the guy's fifth year option down and then sign him for like that doesn't work. It's not
unless you believe that he's figured it out,
apparently. But I don't like it.
Oh, okay, you said the magic words, Joe.
Yeah,
it's like Pee Wee's Playhouse. Fifth year option. Kevin White. Kevin White's fifth year option came up.
And the Bears said, nah.
Yeah. And the option. And
I'm good with it. 100% good with it. 100% good with it.
The option was to say, okay, we get to keep you and you get $13.9 million guaranteed.
No shot.
Yeah. And I listened to Hub earlier this week and he said, you know what? If he would have been rookie of the year, had two productive years after that, and then, like, maybe a lame duck injured year, the Bears still aren't picking that up.
Yep.
This is a guy that's done nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah. So, all right.
There is a mention here at cornerback, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
His name is Michael Joseph.
Okay.
His story is kind of unique.
All right. Give it to me.
So, he went to Oswego High School.
Ooh. That's close to Elburn.
Mm. He wasn't a starter in high school. Like, he didn't start for a high school football team. He walked on at D3.
Okay.
And was signed to an undrafted free agent.
Wow.
Contract. It's crazy. He's 6'2", 192, and he's a cornerback.
That's ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost Marcus Pollard playing basketball, never playing football. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And when you
might be one of the best tight ends in the NFL.
When you sign a guy undrafted,
yeah,
it's all gamble.
Zero all expectations. Gamble. Well, yeah, not really, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you're paying the guy, what, $650?
Oh.
$750, whatever the league minimum is.
Yeah. You give it a shot. Just do it.
Yeah. And you tell him that's what he's going to get. Yeah. And then you cut him in 3 weeks. And
then,
yeah.
Right. He gets through training camp. And they're like, yeah.
And you sell your shoes.
That's right. So safety now. We're on to safety.
Okay.
Eddie Jackson, Adrian Amos, Deion Bush, DeAndre Houston Carson, DeAndre Hall, and Nick Orr. I don't know.
Amos is a good cat.
Minkah Fitzpatrick would have fit really nice right about here. But again, you got Roquan Smith.
Yes, so you did.
I'm not going to complain too much. Safety looks a little light, I'm going to be honest with you. But, you know, Vic Fangio has another year under his belt. They're super athletic.
You want a Doug Plank, do you, Joe?
I want, yeah, pretty much I do. Yes, that's exactly what I want. That's what I want. So they did not draft a safety for the first time in Pace's tenure as GM.
Wow.
So they're super confident in Jackson Amos. So
whoop-de freaking do.
That's right. And then special teams. Very important.
You know what? The only thing that's important about this to me, the Bears, like 6 weeks ago, went out and met with the punter from Pittsburgh, and everybody was like, oh, they're in love with him.
Ryan Winslow.
Yeah. Oh, this is great. You know, he's going to end up a Bear. And I'm thinking to myself, you're not going to draft a punter.
They didn't.
You can't draft a punter.
And they didn't.
And they didn't.
But
they got him.
They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're
punter. So what happens to Pat O'Donnell?
I don't know. That's a good question. Well, they signed Cody Parkey, right? They had Pat O'Donnell, but then they signed this kid, Ryan Winslow. And the note here says that Winslow averaged 44 and a half yards per punt. He had 16 punts for more than 50 yards. He even threw a touchdown pass on a fake field goal. Maybe that's what it was.
I'm sure that's what it was.
It had to have been it, right?
Lucky.
Just in case.
Yeah.
So that's our synopsis of the Bears.
Yeah.
Overall, I think they did a great job in the draft. Filled some holes. We'll see how the team meshes in training camp and see what happens. Again, Vegas over under 6.5. It's a really good number, but I would tend to probably bet the over.
My
2 cents.
I feel good about the over, yeah.
Me too, because I don't think the Lions are terrible.
Mm-mm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The Vikings are good. The defense is good, but...
The Vikings may win the division again.
They might. And the Packers are the Packers. They're old.
Always the Packers.
Yeah. They'll figure out a way to win 9 games and awful and bad and evil and all that other stuff.
All right, so
let's,
kid.
Let's get off the NFL. We've spent far an abundant amount of time on the NFL and the Bears. So
that's what she said.
Let's break it down somewhere else.
Yeah, let's go to the coup.
The coup.
Yeah. We teased it a little bit last week where the Cubs run of 8 games in a row of scoring 3 runs or less, and they were able to win, which hadn't been something that was working for them.
No. It was not.
Starting pitching-wise up until then. So we need to figure out a way to get the bats going, Jobu.
Yeah, I was going to beat me to it. Damn it.
Yeah, so our buddy Joe Madden moved Rizzo into the leadoff spot.
Yeah,
which is odd. It's funny, and he's the greatest leadoff hitter ever, and what did he do? He hit a home run.
Just to interject.
Yes.
How has he looked after the injury?
Not so great.
Okay.
And I think it might
have been. So we talked about this on a podcast before that when he came back, he didn't look right. I just want to, as a Cub fan, does he look any better?
No. And it may have been more about helping him out doing that or taking pressure off him by putting him in the leadoff spot to be like, oh, hey, look, you know, the greatest leadoff hitter ever.
MLB put up, I think yesterday on Twitter, best leadoff hitter in baseball, and it was Bryce Harper.
Oh.
A picture of Bryce Harper doing like a bow. Like he was doing some kind of weird thing. But at any rate. As a Cub fan, one thing you have to be happy about, right, is Jose Quintana finally turning it around his last start.
Yeah.
Looked really good.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah.
I mean, my opinion as a White Sox fan, this is par for the course. I mean, I'm sure they could look up the numbers and tell you for sure, but... He seems like a slow starter. When it's cold out, he just isn't him.
Yeah, but we started in Miami, Joe.
Right. And then we played in Milwaukee, right? Yeah. I understand. And he pitched well, though.
He did.
To start. The one start in Miami, he kind of... He started good and then failed, and then Milwaukee pitched great.
And then there was that fucking snow game that should never have happened. Correct. But we talked to that.
We talk to death. But so it's going to be good to have Quintana back.
Yeah.
It's going to be good... If you guys ever get Yu Darvish figured out, like that's going to be, that's right now, that's the pressing issue. Well, and not to go back to it, but Jake Arrieta is dealing in Philly. Like
yeah. It's not, you know what? I don't even compare those two, man. And we talked about it before. Arrieta can put it together for a year, 18 months, but the way he throws and the older he gets, it's not conducive to success.
No, not at all.
And so them letting him go and him being bitter about it. I mean, in the last couple of days, articles would come out saying, oh, you know, Arrieta is finally talking about the Cubs and they gave him a ultimatum deal and, you know, whatever.
Right.
You know what?
Right.
I'm glad you're doing well, pal.
Sure.
Whatever.
Yeah, for sure. But it sounds to me, I don't miss you. It sounds to me like Theo wanted no part of it.
Right.
Like he didn't want to be any part of it.
And yeah, I mean, old pitchers isn't a thing for him.
No.
It's going out and getting younger cats, younger bats,
mm-hmm.
and then buying proven pitching. I mean, that
John Lester.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well, and then, all right, now you brought that up. Now we've got to talk about you and Chris Jimenez. Yeah. So, you know, everybody's clamoring for, oh, this is an easy fix.
I don't agree with that.
You did it with Lester and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, you know what, though? But it feeds into what you wanted from the jump.
Right.
You wanted Caratini to get everyday at-bats in Des Moines.
Correct.
So why are you against it now?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm looking at you.
No, you're right.
You're my guy.
100%. I think that Caratini should be playing every day at Iowa.
Yeah.
And Jimenez should be the backup catcher catching once a week. And if that once a week is for you, Darvish, then it's for you, Darvish.
Well, why would it be for anybody else? I mean, right. The guy's going to strike out
like
or
David
pop
Ross.
Up.
It's anytime. Like David Ross.
Right.
Did David Ross ever catch anybody else but John Lester?
No, he did not. Well, he may have.
Once or twice, maybe, if there was an injury or whatever.
Right.
I don't see any detriment to batting Caratini every day at Iowa, letting him play every day, and playing Chris Jimenez, have him play once a week and have him be the personal catcher for Yu Darvish. I don't understand.
I don't know
how you're so behind it for John Lester, and you spent all this money on Yu Darvish, and you don't want to give him a chance.
You know, the only thing
that doesn't make any sense to me.
The only thing that I can think of as a Cubs fan is that Theo and the entire brain trust loving somebody that can play somewhere else. So Caratini has really only gotten playing time because Rizzo got hurt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really it.
Because Wilson Contreras can play first. Wilson Contreras.
That's exactly right. But then I was just going to give you the Ron Coomer. Willie. Yeah, you know, Willie out there. And
oh Patrick, why is he? Yeah.
Calling him Willie.
Santo action there. But yeah.
So
the Cubs, I think, they haven't been in sync as a team all year, right? The pitching's been good, but the hitting sucked. Hitting's been great, pitching's been sucked.
But then every time you feel like you finally got it, and you're like, you're holding something.
Something.
And then it just goes right two games in a row where you...
Spare. Right. Yep. It comes down to consistency, and actually consistency is the way it should come down to, period, on both sides of the offense and defense.
Well,
right? And pitching,
until this last homestand where they went 5-2.
Yeah.
And they won five in a row.
Yeah.
That's the first time they'd ever been three games above 500
the
entire year.
Yeah. And it's early still.
It's early.
No need to hit the panic button just yet.
But, you kind of start to feel who you are right now, right?
You're starting to see to feel the momentum of what you are.
Yeah.
And get a feel for what it is, yeah.
And when the Rockies came in here and we made them look stupid.
Yeah.
In the first game.
On the road, the Rockies are terrible.
Well, yeah, but then you finally saw, well, okay.
Right. And in logic, that's fucked up because the pitching on the road should be better than the pitching at home. So in theory, should be more rounded than.
Right. But I was concerned about the bats, and the bats showed up in games 2 and 3.
Yeah, they did. Yes, they did.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's
11-2, Ron.
Right you are, Ronnie. 2-2 to Wilson Contreras. And I'm right. Don't say I'm not wrong. The Cubs, they'll get there. The talent's there. You just got to get it all kind of all the gears meshing is what you need to do.
All right. So back to the Darvish question. Mm-hmm. You're on board with bringing him up. Well, you always were.
Yeah.
You didn't want Caratini up here from the jump.
No, I didn't.
I'm going to throw another Cubby thing at you.
Okay.
Ian Happ.
Yeah.
Is it too early to send him down to Iowa?
No.
Jed Hoyer today said that he had half the at-bats that Schwarber did before they sent Schwarber back down last year.
Right.
So he's saying, well, it's too early to give him a chance. But here's I don't want to take at-bats away from Almora. I don't want to take defensive chances away from Almora.
Right.
I mean,
and not only that, but you know, Happ can play second, right?
Yeah.
There's no need to play him at second base. Javi Baez is your second baseman, right?
I think so.
Like that deal's done.
Right?
That deal's taken care of.
I mean,
Javi Baez is your second baseman.
They've kind of got Zobrist and, you know, whatever they had that Jurassic Park shit.
Right.
Mosquito thing in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amber. Yeah. I mean, he's there for the playoffs. We're going to break that open and he's going to fucking be there.
Right.
We need to play him enough to keep him not like tin man rusty.
Right.
And then roll.
And you're not going to play him in center necessarily. With Almora. Because Almora, I mean, there's the whole lefty righty.
It used to be that.
But give him a chance. Let him play. He defensively is too good. I mean, he's like, not to tie back to the White Sox, but Adam Engel for the White Sox catches everything.
Yeah.
In center field. Like just about everything hit to center field, no matter left, right of center field, he'll catch it. If he can't, if he has any ability to get it, he'll get it.
Adam Zingle Wilder?
Yes.
Okay.
He's good though. He's real good. Defensively anyway. But Almora has a little better bat. A lot better bat probably than Adam Engel, but
well, and then here's your next hook. Yeah. If Happ gets hot again before they send him back down, if they send him back down, do you put him in right?
Where do you play him?
Right.
Here's the problem.
Okay. I don't want to hear that I'm paying Jason Hayward too much money not to sit on the bench.
No, that's not what I was going to say.
Okay.
Jason Hayward needs to be on the bench.
Okay.
The dollar sign on your check should not dictate at all.
Correct.
Whether you play or not.
But is he still the best defensive right fielder in the National League?
I don't watch enough baseball to make that, enough National League baseball to make that
okay
claim.
All right.
I will say this. If Ian Happ starts hitting, you just
that's where you have to put him.
You just take it, right?
Okay.
You take the hit defensively for a play or two versus at bats where he's hitting 290, 285, whatever, 300, and smacking the cover off the ball versus Jason Hayward just looking like somebody who has no clue.
And over we just talked about the last eight games where the Cubs got three runs or less.
No.
And it's not necessarily the runs, it's the hits that they've had have all just kind of been soft and just seeing which you go, hey, you know, if a guy's struggling, you'll take that. It looks like a line drive in the playbook. Rah, rah, rah. But how many games does it have to take before we're driving the ball somewhere?
Right. You need the bottom line, you got to win games.
Yeah.
Like,
anywhere you can, and you'll take the W.
Like right now,
but
right now, Ian Happ should probably not be playing.
Right.
And if you're not going to play Ian Happ, send him down. Let him figure it out. Send him down. Let him fix his shit.
Yeah.
AAA and call another pitcher up because bullpen help is probably important right now.
Sure.
Because Justin Wilson's been big piles of crap.
Nasty.
Yeah. So you can fix it. The Cubs are, there should no reason to panic. You just need to make some mid course corrections. Visit Corrections Corner and just fix it. Right.
Right.
It's not a team wide problem. It's just, you just got to get everybody.
You need to tweak things, is what you're
everybody
saying.
Everybody rowing at the same time.
All right.
That's all it is for the Cubs, in my opinion. You guys are going to win the division. I don't think it's any question. Unless the Cardinals go out and make some ridiculous trade for somebody. I think you guys are fine, in my opinion. You just got to get, like I said, just got to get all the oars in the water at the same time. So.
And, I mean, looking up, we're only half game out today as we record this.
This isn't like panic mode.
No, but, I mean.
Yes, it's not like it's June. second or fifth or whatever fucking day it is.
For the swoon. Right. Is that what we're looking for, Jeff?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I look at the Pirates. I didn't expect them to be as good as they are.
Anybody did.
But I don't know that that's sustainable.
But I think they're much, their record is much better than their talent level. I think they're at some point are going to fall. They're going to start falling. You know what it's going to be? When the White Sox go there, my friend.
That's right. There we are.
That's right.
What about when the White Sox went to Bush, my friend? Oh, you want to talk to me about that?
Yeah, we'll talk some hoes.
Yeah.
Bats non-existent.
No.
For a while now. Moncada got hurt. Avisail means a lot to this lineup, and he's out. He's on the 10-day deal. And they're finally getting starting pitching. Giolito looked great, as much as I ripped him in the last couple podcasts ago. He looked fine against the Cardinals. He walked maybe a skosh walky, but not terrible.
James Shields
goes out. Leadoff home run to Tommy Pham, which we're all like, okay, here we go. Right. Expected behavior. Goes out, retires the next like 15 batters in a row. It gets to like the seventh inning. And then the bullpen blows that game too. So both games in St. Louis, eminently winnable. And they just crapped the bed and just gave it back to the Cardinals. No credit to the Cardinals. Sorry, Cardinal fans out there. But our bullpen is shit. So it was, unless we got a 10-run lead, we're going to blow the game. It's just not a matter of if, it's when. Which sucks.
You'll notice wherever there's a red square is the day when I've had diarrhea at some point in the day.
Uh-huh. That's right. That's the White Sox bullpen.
Oh, my goodness.
That's right. Moncada's been good, but he tweaked his hammy. He's been out for the last couple games.
Yeah.
That kid, I'm telling you, man, he should only bat left-handed. Like, from the right side of the plate, he's, yeah. But left side of the plate, brother, get it done. So Moncada's high level, very good. I'm impressed with him so far.
I mean, defense is good enough for him to do that, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
his defense is really good. The issue now is you're going to get White Sox fans, to a certain extent like myself. If you saw our picture on our Facebook page of my guy, Michael Kopech.
Correct.
The
commander.
The commander. getting promoted. And I'm torn on it because he clearly is showing at Charlotte that he's above that level. It seems like, anyway, on the surface. Now, I'm not watching the games. I'm not watching tape of the games. But on the surface, it certainly seems that he's ready to go. So now it's a matter of when, right? Do you do it now? Because you're not going to make the playoffs. Do you risk burning him out? Do you bring him in July or August, maybe after the All-Star break? It's a fine line that Rick has to walk. But at the same point, that decision has to be made soon because he's killing it down there. You can't just leave him down there to go 14-2 or 14-3 with an ERA of 2.5 and more strikeouts innings pitched or whatever. You can't do that.
No, that's just something that I've never really talked to you about.
Yeah.
Pitcher versus batter,
mm-hmm.
staying down that way.
Yeah.
Who does it benefit more?
That's a good question. I'm going to guess pitcher, because then you can really polish your secondary pitches.
Okay.
Because the guys at that level all have a primary pitch.
Right.
And it's never necessarily the primary pitch that gets you success in the major leagues. It's your secondary pitches.
And it's still where you go from AA to the majors.
Right. That's still very much a thing.
As a pitcher.
Yeah.
Because if you're pitching in AAA, you're either an old guy that's trying to get back up.
Usually.
Or somebody that's rehabbing.
Or your contract status.
Kind of done.
Or your contract, the 7 is greater than 6 Chris Bryant contract status.
Got it.
Which I think is in play here with Kopech.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I don't know. The Sox aren't going to win shit this year. So I don't know if it's in their best interest to do. Now, if they want to draw some attendance to the park, you call up Kopech. Because now, there's nobody going to these games. I go to them. There's nobody going to these games. So,
and I hate to be that guy, but I'm going to be that guy.
Yeah.
They don't go when they win, Joe.
They don't. Well, they no, that's not necessarily true. They don't go if they're not at the top of the charts.
Okay.
Right? So right. If you're in second place, they're not going to, nobody's, right?
Okay.
They're diehards that go. I mean, I'm not.
But I mean, the, and Sundays the, are the busy because of family. The year days, after yeah. the World Series, yeah. they drew like under 20,000. Well, because
that was such a, fluke's the wrong word, but it was such a come to Jesus moment, that 2005 season.
Yeah.
It's like, we won the World Series. We won yeah. the World Series.
And Journey played in the background and.
But, and right. And Steve Perry's all over, but it, we won the World Series.
Right.
Who cares what happens next season?
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Ticket sales are always up the season after a World Series win, right?
So you would think.
The sales were up. Maybe the attendance wasn't. Tickets okay. sold were probably.
It was under 20,000 at the park.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, like today, like this year, the announced attendance, not even close usually.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was there on a Sunday, and the Sunday attendance was good, but the weather was shit. Then that's it. And will it pick up now that it's starting to get warmer out? Maybe. Will it pick up if they call up Michael Kopech for every one of his starts? Yes. Firm belief in that.
What about Eloy?
Then no, Eloy's not ready. Eloy is a bit strikeouty, and he needs some work in the field if he's going to be in the outfield.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. The bat is not the question. The power is not the question.
Okay.
All that still on point.
Okay.
He needs some polish. Now to say he won't be up in September when they expand the rosters, I don't know. But to call him up during the year, I don't think he plus he's been hurt. Like he was out the first month of the season roughly. So I don't think you call him up anytime soon. But the guy that you need to worry about, or not worry even worry about, but consider is Kopech. And to a certain extent, Dane Dunning, they promoted already. They already put him up to Birmingham. He started the season in high A mm-hmm. and just killed it. They went, all right, we'll put you at Birmingham. First start in Birmingham, killed it. Like Dane Dunning's going to be, thank you, Washington Nationals, by the way. You can have Adam Eaton.
Wow.
It was in the Eaton deal that we got Dane Dunning.
Nice.
Yeah. So thank you, Rizzo. Rizzo, that is.
He's still on the DL, by the way.
Whom?
Your friend Adam Eaton.
Well,
from being a dummy and running. Don't
headbutt home yeah. plate. Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you.
6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
6 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. I warned everybody that wanted to listen to me. Like, nope. Let's give the White Sox all of our prospects for Adam fucking Eaton. I'm like, all right. Done.
Take it.
Great. And I'm good. And the fruits of our labor are panning out. Giolito's been... had one really bad outing, but has been pretty good. Lopez has been ridiculous. Dane Dunning in AAA or in AA has been ridiculous.
Right.
So, I mean, Ronaldo Lopez right now is the White Sox best starting pitcher.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even a question.
I mean, the last time we talked about this with their ERA being
8.36.
Yeah. I was going to say north of 8.
Yeah.
You had to take him out.
Because he
would have blown it.
Right. It would have been more like 6 something. Yeah. Yeah. The reason I did that was I wanted to stress how bad the other pitchers were, not correct. How bad Ronaldo Lopez was. But the wins keep coming in that Nationals deal, so I'm all for it.
All right, brother. We did baseball.
Yep.
Let's
LeBron?
No, I don't even want to go there yet.
Yeah.
Let's talk NHL.
No. Okay. Playoffs. All right. Playoffs.
Because you're the hockey guy.
Here's an awesome story. So so I put up somebody, 538 put out a tweet about, or have an article on their website about Ovechkin. To which I replied on Twitter, you can't spell choke without Ovechkin.
Ooh!
Because all the letters of choke are in.
Correct, they are.
You need to rearrange. And then Ovechkin somehow scored a game-winning goal last night or 2 nights ago. Against the Penguin. It was 2 nights ago because they play tonight as we tape this.
Correct.
And some guy said, delete your tweet.
No.
I'm like,
I'm
not deleting my tweet.
I will not.
I stand by my statement.
Yes, you do.
Because Ovechkin
win something.
Ovechkin hasn't won shit.
Correct.
So until he does, fuck off. Because yeah. I'm right. I'm 100% right.
And Russia knows it.
Yeah, absolutely. And then in the Western Conference, you know, Vegas stormed out game one winner against the Sharks. The Shark came back last night, 4-0. So who knows in that one? Maybe there was some adjustments made by the Sharks, clearly, to get themselves in a position. Game three is tomorrow night, I believe. So
okay.
It's looking good. That's going to be a fun series. I knew it wasn't going to be a sweep. Like after they both sweep their first round matchups.
Yeah,
you can't. You know it's not going to be a sweep.
That's not it.
And Vegas, for everybody saying that they're this, that, and the other thing, they're inexperienced in the playoffs. That's a fact. So we'll see what happens from here on out. The Sharks are not inexperienced.
Right.
They're not experienced in winning anything, but they play in the playoffs. So they're another team like the Capitals. Or the Crapitals, I like to call
them. There it was.
Yeah.
I was waiting for it.
Sure. And the Preds and the Jet. So Pred Jets, 1-1. Winnipeg stole one, I believe. So that's going to be up in the air. A lot of these games are going to go long. A lot of these series are going to go long, I think, at this time of year. Because the teams are so evenly matched. There's not going to be a sweep anywhere, I don't think. I don't think there can be one at this point.
I'm a fan of the Hartford Whaler, Joe. Are they still around?
The Whale?
The Whale.
They win maybe once, maybe twice a year. That's right. NHL hockey on Sega Genesis.
Outstanding.
Yeah, but that's a fill-in of hockey. At this point, again, both teams are going to be evenly matched in any of the series of the quarterfinals at this point. So it's a matter of, you know, maintaining your home ice advantage, which hasn't happened yet. So
Protect that ice, Vegas.
I'm looking forward to it.
Right?
Yeah, for sure. I'm looking forward. And I should phrase that. The NHL does their playoffs a little bit differently than most leagues in that it's 2-2-1-1-1. So they play.
The NBA does that too.
They may do it now, but they haven't. Maybe last year was the first time, but forever it was 2-3-2, at least in the finals. So it's 2-2-1-1-1. It's been that way forever.
Okay.
Because it's just more, it's fairer that way.
Correct.
And the NHL home ice really doesn't mean a whole lot. It just means your crowd's behind you and you get the last line change, which is beneficial. But then as soon as the puck drops, you change lines anyway if you don't like the matchup. So it's not that big a deal. It really isn't.
Right on, baby.
NBA, baby.
On to the NBA.
Brown, brown.
All right. You are on the road.
Yeah.
To start a series.
Yep.
What's your goal?
Win.
One.
Win one of the two.
Yeah. Take it back.
Get home court advantage back. Yep, absolutely. Which is exactly
what
LeBron did. What
a very, very, very
notice
tired.
How I put that.
Yeah. What a very tired Cavaliers team did in Toronto.
Yep.
I don't know how you blow a 14-point lead.
I was thinking that last night.
After the first quarter.
Yeah.
I mean, they came out and punched him in the mouth, and you're like, these guys are fucking tired.
The last game, I should say, maybe not last night, but as we record this, it was last night or night before. But I'm sitting there watching, like, I'm like, weren't the Raptors up like 14, 15 at one point?
Early. Right.
Which goes to prove it doesn't matter when you or how you get the lead, as long as that buzzer goes at the end of the fourth quarter and you have the lead by at least one point, it's all that matters.
Yeah.
And LeBron did that.
And LeBron, and again, whatever.
LeBron did that.
Whatever. He won.
Yeah.
The Cat took 30 shots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To get 26 points.
I know.
I mean.
His efficiency sucked.
He was chucking.
But he took the team on his back.
Hey. And that's what you got to do.
Right. Because who else is going to do it on that team?
You know, the biggest affront of the entire thing was the end. Lou goes, yeah, we stole this one, and I'm pretty sure Toronto knows it.
Yeah.
Really? You're going to poke somebody in the fucking eye like that?
Dude, yeah, right here.
In their house.
Thumb in the eye. Rake the eyes. That's right.
And that's...
Wrestling heel style. Just, gah.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
And so we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Again, as I said from the jump, LeBron James is LeBron James. Beat him. Yeah. That's it. Beat him. In a seven-game series, beat him.
All right, and the thing that came up...
Which it can be done. I'm not saying it can't be done.
Right.
But if you're asking me to put my money not on him or on him to win a seven-game series, I'm going to go on.
Prove me wrong.
Right.
Just prove me wrong once.
Yeah. And I made this point at work, the same point I made in our podcast, and everybody's like, no, I can't disagree with you. I'm like, I know.
Well, and you know, okay, this is gonna go back to something we talked about before too. Mm-hmm. The greatest shot.
Yeah.
They talked about that buzzer beater that LeBron had versus Michael's in Cleveland. And I will always go Michael because again, the Bulls had to be they had to go through Cleveland to get to be who they were.
Right. Right.
And even though
Cleveland was the better team on paper.
Correct. Yeah. And, but now Toronto is the better team on paper.
Yep.
And they haven't gone through Cleveland.
No, never.
I mean, this will be the third year in a row that they may be bounced from the playoffs
by Cleveland.
By Cleveland.
Yeah. Yep.
So
again, my pick remains the same until somebody proves me wrong.
All right.
And the West.
I mean,
Utah, baby. Look at Utah.
No.
Right?
You're not.
Look at Utah.
You're not.
Look at them.
No.
They got a good win.
That was a great win. Yeah. That was a steal.
Yeah.
Harden.
Donovan Mitchell was incredible.
Harden at the end came out and said, you know what? We can't get down 19 to anybody.
No.
You know,
They have to be the aggressor. The aggressor. And James Harden will turn that around. James Harden is the aggressor. He will turn that around. It'll be a much closer.
Our MVP.
Correct. Our MVP. Much closer than game two will be much better than game one, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not going to do that again. I don't think. Because I think.
Well, that was game two.
Well, so game three won't be as...
Correct. That's where you're at.
Yeah, the next game will be much different than the game before.
Yeah, Houston on the road is much better.
Yeah.
Sixers had no answer for Al Horford. And I never thought I'd say that out loud in any podcast ever. Who doesn't have an answer for Al Horford?
I distinctly remember...
He was the cat.
I was watching last year. For some reason, it was on the bar I was at with Celtics Bulls. Bulls had no answer for Al Horford, right?
Right,
and that's kind of the player he is, right? Like, he's good enough to take over a game, but that's just it. He's good enough to take over a game. He's not going to do it to you twice in a row or three times in a row.
You know
he's
what?
Not
though?
That player,
and that's the question: whose defense is going to be better at the end of the night? I mean, Boston went to Milwaukee and got punched in the mouth once.
Yep.
And then they clamped it down defense-wise.
All right. Now it's like, now we get it. We watch enough tape. All right. We see what you guys are doing.
But Philly also, that's Philly's game too, is defense.
Yep.
So, I mean, but I got to go back to Horford. He went 10 for 12 and had 4 assists.
I mean, dealing.
Right.
Dealing the dish. Mmm.
They put him at the 5. He backed out and hit a 3.
He does. He's Al fucking Horford
looking at you. All right, man. That's all I had.
All right. That's all we're going to do then for this episode of It's That Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We're actually putting this out same day as our previous episode because it's timely and we didn't get to touch on any of this stuff in the previous episode.
Right.
So we're
because we got fat. We got fat on the draft.
We did, man. We went all in on the draft. We didn't want to have a 2-hour podcast of us that and then this. So if we cut it up for you, we'll do the first one will be all NFL draft. This one's going to be everything else. So we hope you enjoyed this episode.
Goodbye. That's and don't think it hasn't been a little slice of heaven.
Oh, it has been.
Because it hasn't.
You can hit us up on Facebook at facebook.com/itsthatpod. I am on Twitter. I am at Triple Lindy's. Jason is at J, the letter, Sleet Shirley. Hit us up on email if you want. The old way of doing things on the internet. Joe at itsthatpodcast.com. That's me. Jason is Jason at itsthatpodcast.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode of It's That Podcast, and we'll see you next time on It's That Podcast.